Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome to Zion this morning. I know we have a few visitors. A few of them look familiar to me. I don't know. That's my grandparents and my great-great aunt and uncle that are here visiting with us today. But I know there's a few announcements, and I believe there are portals of prayer for us back there in the narthex to grab after service. And there's also your little a reminder sheet here that talks about all the different stuff kind of going on. We also have a few services coming up. Like we have the Thanksgiving Eve service that'll be happening this week. And then we also have, after that, we'll be beginning the midweek Advent services. I won't be here for those because I have other stuff going on at St. Paul. But you guys have other folks there for that. And I also believe maybe Diane has a few comments about children's stuff. Or is that... And I know you've been looking for a Mary and Joseph, and I know we are actually dedicated to doing that. We just haven't actually signed up. So Leah and I will go ahead and do that. But with that, let's go ahead and begin with our opening hymn, unless there's any other announcements, and I don't see any. But let's begin with our opening hymn, LSB 516. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Please rise. The Lord reigns. He is robed in majesty.
The Lord is robed. He has put on strength as his belt.
O come, let us worship and bow down.
Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker.
Jesus said, "Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." Today we kneel humbly before him, our King, confessing the truth that we have sinned against our Creator's clear commands. Let us make our heartfelt petition for mercy, forgiveness, and salvation.
Most merciful Lord, whose majesty has been shown to all nations by your triumph over all sin and death on your glorious cross, from your exalted throne at the right hand of the Father, you live and reign over all creation. Receive our humble plea for mercy, life, and forgiveness of our sin, and grant to us your enlivening grace by speaking your liberating word of truth. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy upon us and has given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. To those who believe on his name, he gives power to become the children of God and has promised them his Holy Spirit. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, so govern our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit that, ever mindful of your glorious return, we may preserve in both faith and holiness of living, for you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Our Old Testament reading is from Daniel chapter 7. As I looked, thrones were placed, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was fiery flames, its wheels were burning fire. A stream of fire issued and came out from before him. 1,000,000 served him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court sat in judgment, and the books were opened. I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven there came one like a son of man, and he came to the Ancient of Days, and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our epistle reading comes from Jude, beginning with verse 20. But you, beloved, build yourselves up in the most holy faith, pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. And have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others, show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by flesh. Now, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to be presented you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, now and forever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 13th chapter. Jesus said, "In those days, after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send out angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branches becomes tender and puts out its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near at the very gates. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But concerning that day or that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, keep awake, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves his home and puts his servants in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to stay awake. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in evening, or at midnight, or when the cock crows, or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. And what I say to you, I say to all, stay awake. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated, and I invite any children forward for a brief children's message.
Morning. Have you guys ever tried to stay awake? I know a few weeks ago you were talking about how you got to stay up late and play video games. I don't know that you had to try to do that, though. I think it was fun, wasn't it? You weren't like dozing off while you played? Maybe by the end you were falling asleep? No? Not at all? Too much screen time?
I didn't sleep that night.
You did not sleep that night, okay. Have you ever struggled falling asleep? You never doze off in the car? You do?
All the time. Like
the
long trip.
Yeah, it is a long trip when you go some places, right? But you have had to try and stay awake, right? It wasn't really trying. But so what Jesus says in our gospel is he says, stay awake. Now, have you ever had to try and like actually stay up and do stuff outside of playing video games? I don't think that necessarily counts. But I have a little story. When I was in high school, I had work in the evenings and then I'd get home. And after work, I'd have to go and do homework after that. And I get home at 10, so then I have calculus and all these other things that I gotta do. There's some nights that I'd be up until about 1 or 2 in the morning, maybe later. Very bad decisions, don't do that. But there are times that I'd be working on my stuff and I'd be getting kinda tired, I'd be falling asleep, and you know what would wake me up? I'd doze off and then my head would go whack right on the table. And that would wake me right back up. And then sometimes, after that, I'd call it quits and I'd go to bed. Sometimes I'd try to keep going and get stuff done. But what Jesus is telling us in our gospel text is that he says we have to stay awake. And what does he mean?
Don't sleep.
It's easy for you to stay awake. I don't think he's talking about just sleeping, though. I think what he's trying to tell us is that we got to stay awake in our faith, that he's telling us that we have a living and active faith where we get to stay awake by hearing his word. So when you guys are here, and you guys both have been baptized, I know I bring that up every single time or a lot of times when we're up here, but when you get baptized, Jesus helps you stay awake. That he gives you the Holy Spirit to enliven your hearts and wake you up from your sleep as an unbeliever. So what he does is he wakes you up, and when we preach the word of God and you get to hear it, Jesus is building your faith even more, and he's allowing you to be awake. And it's God's way of yelling out to you, stay awake. When you hear the word of God, he's building that faith inside you. And so when you guys come here to church, you get to hear that. And Jesus is yelling out to you to stay awake in your faith. So that way when he comes, that we can go and have eternal life with him. Well, would you guys like to join me in a brief word of prayer? So that way you guys go back to your seats. Okay. Let's go ahead and repeat after me. Dear Jesus,
Dear Jesus,
thank you for keeping us awake.
Thank you for keeping us awake.
So that in our faith,
so that in our faith,
you might give us life and salvation.
You might give us life and salvation.
In your name we pray.
In your name we pray.
Amen. All right, you might go back to your seats. And now we will sing our hymn of the day, LSB 336. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. If you noticed by looking at the front of your bulletin, today marks the last Sunday of the church year, And with that, you might see a few things shift in the way that things go about, especially in our text as we kind of move closer to the end of the church year, and then we work our way back into Advent. And this shift is pretty thematic, and we start talking about the end. Not just the end of the church year, but the end of the age. And so Jesus, there in Mark 13, especially focuses on the end times, and he's talking about when he will come back. And in doing so, we sometimes might get a little bit nervous, or this discussion kind of brings out some unknowns that we might not understand fully. And so Jesus especially makes clear at the end of this passage, and that's what we're focusing on today, is that last passage, stay awake, that parable that he tells, where he says, no one knows. No one knows the day or the hour. And that might make us a bit uncomfortable at times. But we must also stay awake for our Lord's return, and that's his whole point. But I think there's also a second shift in the focus of that text, and it's not just about we don't know when Jesus is coming, but he also emphasizes that the master left his servants work to do. And so we stay awake by doing the work of the master. And so the first thing I'd like to point out about the text is that the master, though he's absent, is actually delegating his authority to his servants. And that is kind of important. So when he delegates that authority, he gives them work to do. And it's not as if he said, your work is to sit there and watch the grass grow and watch the paint dry and, you know, sit in that chair and don't do anything until I get back. He didn't say that. He gave them their work to do. The things that they normally did around the house, the very work that he told them to do all the time, they're still doing in the house. And so Jesus said in that parable that the master put his servants in charge, each with his own work. And so their work is no different than what the master has always told them to do. They're doing exactly what he's always said. So when the master, even though he's absent, he has left them directions. He's left them a teaching to follow. And they don't need to worry about the day or the hour because they're occupied with that work. They're occupied with the things that he has told them to do and the things that he has directed them to do. And so the day and the hour doesn't concern them, and it doesn't really concern us, because they faithfully awaited him by fulfilling their duties in the house. And this says something about us today, that we have a task that the Lord has given us, so we don't need to worry about the time that Jesus is coming back. And so Jesus, our master, is making a point about us Christians. It wasn't about predicting when he comes back. All the many times people have tried to predict when Jesus will be here, if you number them all, you probably have a list that you can't even count. We don't know the time, but rather we wait for his arrival. So Jesus instituted the church as his house to do his work. And through her, this work is still done today. And we share together in doing what Christ gave us to do. And so we care for those who need caring, and we serve those who need serving. We pray for those who need praying. And we'd come together in our fellowship so that Christ, Jesus, gave us that work to proclaim his word. That's ultimately what it comes down to, is this work is proclaiming Christ in all that we do so that others do not draw weary. And so while Jesus may be physically absent from our presence today, we do know he is present in the authority that he has given his church, and we know he's present because the Holy Spirit works through that word and the church. He provided us a way for that authority to still be present. And his authority is present in those who he charged it to, which in some way comes down to all of us. He has charged us with that authority to go out and share his word with those who need it. As when, like I said, we serve those who need serving, we care for those who need caring, pray for those who need praying. And so we got to keep one thing straight, though, and it's that the servants have no authority of their own. It all comes from Jesus. It all comes from the master. So that means the things that he gave us to do, he strictly charged us to do, and we can't change them. There are things that he has given us to do that we are not allowed to touch, and then we do as he told us to do. So we do as the master directed us. And we as the servants don't hold the same authority of the master, but we do have his authority given to us to be proclaimed as he has told us. We only do as he directed us. And the church that is you and I, is keeping the house ready for Jesus' return. And I know I've been talking a lot about work, and that's not to say that I or you need to do anything to earn Jesus' grace or mercy. We all know that that is freely given to us. But we know that it is given to us by the Holy Spirit to maintain the preaching of the gospel and all of its purity and its truth, so that way people don't fall asleep. People don't fall away from the faith. And this house that our Lord instituted does as he told us. And as Lutherans, we would probably summarize this as preaching Christ crucified. And so then you call the secure sinner out of his sin, and then you proclaim forgiveness to the one who is despairing in his sin. So he has given his church the authority to forgive. And he has given us the scriptures and the Holy Spirit to guide us in our reading and in our learning and in our teaching so that we might know his true direction for us and his true teachings for us. And so through us, he continues to make sure that his promises are proclaimed, and he continues to guard his people from falling astray into falsehood, always pointing us back to scripture as the source of all truth. And those who know this are awake, and that means everybody here is awake. Now, the work, I think, takes a few forms. We kind of talked about one already, and that's about keeping the teaching of Scripture as it stands. We make sure that the work is going out and being proclaimed to others in all of its truth. We don't change what Jesus told us to proclaim, because if you remember, I said the servants have no authority to change what the master delegated to them. They only do as they're told because they are faithful servants to the master. So if you change the teaching that Jesus left or the work that he gave us to do, then we're missing something, or we're changing the very thing he left us to maintain. And so this continues through us by virtue of the Holy Spirit, where we go and proclaim this gospel in eternal truth to all people. And so he keeps us awake in a living and active faith, knowing that the work that he did for us, dying at Calvary, but also that the work he gave us to do in spreading his word. Now, falling asleep, I think, takes a few forms, but the obvious meaning of those who fall asleep is those who have abandoned the faith, or those who abandon the teachings that Jesus guarded us to keep, or left us to guard. And so our temptation is to grow weary with that teaching. And I think this takes a number of forms, especially if you think culturally. People have grown weary with the pure teaching of Scripture, and they start changing things to fit what they would like. So Jesus gave us the Scripture to stay as it is, but people have changed it because they get discontent with the teaching that Jesus gave us. And so we see this culturally in some churches that have decided to change aspects of the faith to fit the culture. And when we do that, we actually reject what Jesus has taught. We reject the very teachings of Scripture, and then we fall asleep, because if you're growing weary with his teachings, eventually you throw them on the wayside and just sleep and fall away from the faith. And I think there's also another form, and it's more on an individual scale. Life is wearying. We can grow weary in life. And that's not just unbelievers. That's all of us. We can grow weary. And this happens, I think, especially for those who get assaulted by the temptations of the devil, that endure suffering in this world, that they don't know where to turn sometimes. And so the cross sometimes feels like this vicious cycle of, I sinned, I messed up, now I need forgiveness, and now I go to Jesus, and it just goes over and over and over and over again. And sometimes either a person gets so wearied with that process because they feel so guilted by their sin that they eventually come to a point of despair and they don't feel like they can be forgiven, or they become comfortable sinners and saying, I don't think that's my Jesus. And they say, my sin doesn't matter, it's okay. And so then they also would change that teaching he has given us to guard. And so slowly drifting into sin and despair until they finally They just give up. And they kind of will see this at times, that they don't want a life of a Christian. They fall into shame. They don't like this shameful feeling, so they want to focus on themselves or find their truth or find themselves. But it all ends up being apart from Jesus. But thankfully, Jesus also gave us a means to go tell these people about him, to awaken them and to help them while they're growing weary. So Jesus also said something about a doorkeeper, and he commanded that doorkeeper to stay awake. He said, the master commanded the doorkeeper, stay awake. And so that's also the command to all the servants, but there's something special about the doorkeeper where he's watching the door waiting for someone to return, and as he can see over in the courtyard of the household, he can point out to them and say, hey, wake up. Stop falling asleep. Do your work. And that's, I think, really all of us. In a broad sense, all of us can do that as Christians. When we watch our brothers and sisters who are getting wearied by the assaults of the devil in our life, whether that be the sufferings of the world, a financial situation, or falling into a great vice, we can go to them and say, wake up. Jesus gave us the authority to yoke with one another and bring them out and bring them back to him and proclaim that forgiveness to everyone. And so those snares of the devil, while it might weary us in this life, we jolt awake at the sound of the Word of God. The Word of God is living and active, and when the Holy Spirit works upon the hearts of men, those who are wearying in this life can then jolt back from the weariness that they have been enduring. And that also comes in our community that we form up as a church, that when we come together as believers, we share that gospel with one another, no matter what wearying circumstance that we're in. So the Spirit breathes life back into our wearying souls, enlivening us to share the gospel with others and those who are growing weary in this life. And so we don't want people around us to fall asleep. We nudge them and we yell, wake up. And we could even say that the doorkeeper is more narrowly our pastors, that each Sunday that he's out there and he might know the things going on. He might not know what's going on in everybody's life, but he's still proclaiming that Word of God and its truth and its purity to wake us up when we are struggling in life. And it's also to wake us up to come back together as community if that's a problem. And it's not here. You guys are great at coming together. But in some places, it does become a problem. But the pastor can say, guys, wake up. We need to work together to keep each other faithful so that we can love Christ. Don't forget that first love that we have for Jesus. And so the pastor then has the authority. He has been given the authority as a called and ordained servant of Christ to forgive and to strengthen those in the faith, to give you the word and the sacraments and both baptism, which everyone's baptized, but you actually get to go to the altar and receive the Lord's Supper where Christ has offered that gift. So he always proclaims the hope of Jesus, death and resurrection, and what it means for us in the life to come. And that's what we can then share with those who are wearying, even outside the walls of Zion. We share that with those in the community, and that happens at our food pantry. We just handed out a Bible this last week. That was great. So all of this is to say we don't know when Jesus is going to come back. But that's okay. We don't need to know. He continues to be here with us now. He gives us work to do. Again, not that it's ours, but the Holy Spirit who works through us so that we can go out and proclaim the word to others and also keep our brothers and sisters in Christ awake, that we nudge them when they're growing weary with the temptations of the world. And so here, we are here, a part of those who are awake. We are awake in Christ, but we do know that life is wearying. So we watch out for one another. If someone's not been here in a while, we go and visit and we talk to them and we say, hey, what's up? And we talk to them and we go out to the shut-ins and care for them also. And they'll be hearing this at some point recorded later and it'll be delivered to them so they can hear the word of God and we can bring it to them. And so together as God's people, we come together and bear with those who are weary, so they might be awakened by the word once more. And we pray that we will look forward to Christ's return and not fear it, because we can look forward to it because we know we're awake, and that the Holy Spirit will continue pointing us back to the truth of Scripture so that we don't get weary with the teachings of it, and knowing that this life might be wearying, but the gospel awakens our hearts so that we may awaken among the faithful on that last day. In the name of Jesus, amen. At this time, we will bring forward our tithes and our offerings and also have a prayer hymn.
The King shall come when morning dawns, and my triumphant praise. Eastern hills send life to joy. Awake, not as of old a little child, to bear and fight and die.
Father in heaven, we give thanks that you awaken us in faith. Grant that the Holy Spirit may do the work which you have given to the church through us, proclaiming the truth of Scripture and Christ crucified with all purity and truth. We pray for the whole church that you might uphold and strengthen her in this world, raising up those who faithfully proclaim and teach your word. We pray especially for Zion as they go through this vacancy. Allow this transition to be smooth and that the appropriate candidate might have wisdom and strength and consider their calling here. We also lift before you those who are sick or struggling with long-term afflictions, especially Margaret, Charlotte, Bernetta, Mary Ellen, Gary, Bill, Bryceton, Joe, Kim, Andrew, Brandy, Maverick, Heather, Gary, Michael, Ray, Lane, Chelsea, Norma, Dan, Ron, and Eunice. Grant that they might receive compassion and healing and give them your peace by keeping them awake in their faith. We pray for this nation and for our President Joe and President-elect Donald, guiding all in authority to make godly decisions that support and defend your word. And lastly, we look and recall our times of celebration, especially as we look forward to Thanksgiving this week. Grant safe travels to all who will be traveling this week to come, and thankful hearts for all the many blessings you bestow upon us. All these things, Lord, we sum up in the prayer which you taught us to pray.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts
as we forgive our debtors.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord look upon us with his favor and give us his peace.
Amen.
You may be seated for our closing hymn, LSB 515.